chapter number 16. Look at a couple of verses, verses 1 through verse number 15 in just a minute or two. Let me just say this, that I'm going to build a little bit bigger porch than I normally do as an introduction to the message this morning, so just hang on. We'll get to the reading of the scriptures in just a couple of minutes. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to head back to the gathering room, amen, to gather up some of those goodies that y'all have made, amen, to be a blessing to the young people. And you say, well, you know what, I'm a diabetic and I don't eat stuff like that. That's okay. We don't really want you to eat it. We just want you to put some money down, amen. So put some money down for the young people, amen. Be a blessing to them, amen. So we trust that you'll stay with us after that. And then just prior to that, we're going to have a baptism, so we're excited about that. Baptizing one person today, so we're excited about that and having her baptized today. So look in Exodus chapter 16. We'll begin reading in just a couple of minutes. But on 9 different occasions, the Bible uses this term, wist not. Wist not. It's used 5 times in the Old Testament and 4 times in the New Testament. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to like to look at the different circumstances surrounding the use of these words, wist not, this phrase that's used in the Bible. The first one we're going to look at is found in our text today in verse number 15 of Exodus chapter number 16. And this account really involves God sending manna to the children of Israel while they were wandering around in a wilderness for those 40 years. Look at verse 15, if you have it already open. The Bible says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. That word manna actually means this, what is it? That word wist, it means to know, to think, or suppose something. So we could say this, because they wist, or they knew not what it was, they simply just called it manna. Verse 14 describes manna as a small, round thing, as small as a hoarse frost on the ground. It was shaped like a small, round seed, and the quantity and color resembled frost that covered the ground in the morning, probably much like it covers here in America as well. In verse number 31, we read that it was like a coriander seed. Coriander was a very aromatic herb of the carrot family, and coriander is also a little small seed. It's similar what we would say today as a tiny pea that we would have today. Verse 31 tells us that its color was white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The children of Israel called it manna, but Moses actually gave it a different name. He told them in verse 15, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And that was the name that he got directly from God himself. Notice in verse number 4 we read, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. So we could just say simply this, that manna was God's bread from heaven. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but the manna is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the bread from heaven, and also get this, he is the bread of life. This manna was the bread that God gave to save Israel from their physical death, starvation, but Jesus Christ is the bread of God given to save man from spiritual death, in other words, an eternal separation from God. You see, that's what death really is. A lot of people think and believe that you just die, you just get planted into the ground. Some people erroneously believe that you could be reincarnated into cows and animals and bugs and cats, and I don't know, I'm happy with being a human. I don't want to be a bug, cat, or a monkey or whatever, anything else. But understand this, that the Bible teaches that death is really an eternal separation from God unless you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this means that manna was a type of the bread of heaven, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. In other words, Jesus Christ is simply saying this, if you partake of me, if you trust in me as your personal Savior, you'll have an eternal life. I think one writer wrote a very detailed account of what manna, how it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Speaking about its size, which was small, it speaks of the humility of Jesus Christ. Its shape, which was round, speaks of the perfection of Jesus Christ. Its color, which was white, speaks of the holiness of Christ. It being like the coriander seed, lovely, it speaks of the fragrance of Jesus Christ. And for its taste, the wafer made with honey speaks of the sweetness that's found in Jesus Christ. Think about this for just a moment. God sent the manna, but the people had to go out and gather that manna up. Think about this. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sin. But we have to receive him. In John 1, in verse number 12, we find these wonderful words. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, not only is manna a type of Jesus Christ, but then notice something else. Manna is also a type of the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 16, in verse number 4, we see that manna was a supernatural gift. This manna was not a product of the earth. This manna wasn't brought out from Egypt, taken into the wilderness. Man did not make this manna. It came down from heaven. It was a supernatural gift from God the Father to his children. It was a miraculous gift from God given by the Lord himself. The same is true with the Word of God, the Bible that we have in front of you, in the pew in front of you. And God's Word is given to us, the Bible says, by divine inspiration. Its source is from heaven, and it's God's gift to you and I. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says this, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So we would say this then this morning, that the Bible is our manna. It's our spiritual food that we need to grow in our faith and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We get spiritual strength for service from the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, he said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone," speaking about physical bread, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then, of course, where would we be without John 1 and verse number 1? It tells us that Jesus Christ was the Word. The Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When I look at the manna that God gave the nation of Israel, I automatically think of the Bible that God has given to you and I, and what it should mean to each and every believer. I came across a rather startling statistic this week that really just shook my soul. It said that 27% of Americans own 5 or more Bibles. Just think for a moment. How many Bibles do you have at your house? Well, just because someone owns a Bible really doesn't mean that they understand the importance of reading the Bible. One survey said that only 1% of Americans read their Bible at least once a day. It's pretty obvious to me and probably pretty obvious to you that most people don't see the Bible as God's bread from heaven. Because if they saw the Bible, God's Word, as God's bread from heaven, they would devour it every day of their life. And my prayer for this message this morning, and perhaps tonight as well, is that we'll learn to place an importance on God's Word in your life. You say, "Well, Pastor, I know God's Word is important. Boy, it's really important in my life." Let me help you. I want you to understand that it's so important, and I want you to understand the importance of God's Word in your life so much that the Word of God will have such a prominent place in your life that we move from mere prayers of ministry to performing ministries. You see, we've been around long enough to know this, that we can pray some pretty good prayers, can't we, Brother Spencer? We can lift up some good prayers to the Heavenly Father, and we can ask for all kinds of things and ask for God to bless the ministry and God to bring souls and God to save people. We have all kinds of prayers for the ministry, but listen, if God's Word was prominent in our life, we'd move from having just mere prayers of the ministry to performing the ministry of those prayers that we just prayed. I hate to say today, I believe that's where a lot of churches are today. Perhaps Sharon Baptist Church is that way today. So having said that, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll look in Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to read a rather large portion of Scripture, so if you'd rather be seated, we understand that. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse number 15, and then we'll pray as we think on this thought this morning, God's bread, God's bread. The Bible said in Exodus 16, beginning in verse number 1, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." There's always a few, aren't they, that murmur, complain, backbite, and backstab. Even in Moses' day, even in our day, even in this church, there's always some that murmur and complain. Verse 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hath heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh. And in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for wist not that it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, oh Father, as we begin this series we've entitled Wist Not, Father, I pray as we look at this manna, a type of God's word, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ today, a type of God's bread, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll be a help to us. And Father, may your church come away with this understanding that once again this pastor's heart is broken. And Father, we're trying to help your people to understand the grave importance of regular Bible reading and prayer time with you. Father, everything that we do rises and falls upon this. And Father, our ministry will be nothing. Our ministry will fall apart. Ichabod will be stamped across the name Sharon Baptist Church, Father, if our people, Father, do not understand this matter of applying this truth to their life, of God's bread to their life each and every day. Oh, Father, we pray for those that could be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. Oh, Father, I pray they'll come to know Jesus Christ as the bread of life today. And Father, may they come to understand that they were a sinner. They're lost in their sin, Father. But you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them. That if they'll, by faith, put their trust in what he's done for them on the cross, they can become a child of God and spend an eternity with you in heaven. So, Father, have your will and way during this message this morning and the invitation to follow. And we'll seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, in verse number 1 of chapter number 17, we find that the nation of Israel is once again on the move. It's only been about a month since they left that nation of Egypt, and they left on the 15th of the previous month, according to Exodus 12 and verse number 18. So it's about 30 days that they're at this point in verse number 1. The wilderness of Sin lied between Elim and Sinai. They came out of Elim, really, which was a picture of the oasis and the rest of comfort, according to Exodus 15 and verse number 27. And now the Bible says they're headed on the way to Sinai. And Sinai was a place where they're going to meet and connect with God. And they're going to receive God's laws. And God was going to give him his commandments. And between Elim and Sinai was the wilderness of Sin. And the original text, that name, the wilderness of Sin, has nothing actually to do with sin. But as this narrative unfolds this morning and tonight, we'll see that this wilderness really does have a lot to do with sin, the sin of the nation of Israel. I want us to notice, first of all, this morning, number one, the divine purpose of manna. The divine purpose of manna. As we look here in Exodus chapter number 16, we find that there are three different purposes for this manna. Notice, first of all, the first purpose was for sustenance. And the reason that God gave the children of Israel a manna to eat was because that they were smack dab in the middle of the wilderness of sin. The realities of living in the wilderness were only beginning just to set in. In fact, in verse number 3, as they began to understand where they were and the realities of being in this wilderness of sin, we find in verse 3 that they began to start to complain. Notice, follow along in verse 3 again. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." So listen, the nation of Israel simply said this, "We rather God would have killed us in the land of Egypt than to be out here where we are in the wilderness of sin." But that, if that wasn't enough, they said this, "When we sat by our flesh pots and we did eat bread to our full." So listen, they're really complaining to Moses and Aaron, literally complaining to God. And they said this, that listen, "We had meat and we had bread where we were. Now we're out here. We're a month out of Egypt and we're starving to death." And then we find, notice what they said, "For he had brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I don't know about you, but I don't think that they already had food the last up to this point. Their food perhaps to begin to run out, but I really doubt if the whole assembly was going to die of hunger in the next day or two if they did not get something to eat. Well, they began to realize that there were no Burger Kings. There was no 7-Elevens. There was no Walmarts or Wawas or Krogers or even Walmarts in this wilderness of sin. So God, in his provision for the children of Israel, the Bible said he gave them manna. And by the way, he gave them more than manna. He gave them quail as well. Quail in the evening and manna in the morning. We noticed earlier that Moses said in verse 15 that this bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Listen, they didn't have to go out and get it. The Bible tells us that God provided this bread for them. I think one of the purposes for manna was simply this, to sustain them physically. We all have to eat, amen. Some of us like to eat more than others, amen. And I'm one that likes to eat a lot, but understand this, that all of us do have to eat. It sustains us physically. But I think of the Bible, I think of it as bread from heaven. It's God has given his Bible, these 66 books that you have in front of you, to sustain us spiritually. So manna was given to sustain them physically, but the word of God is given to sustain us spiritually. Psalm 119 and verse 28, the Bible says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." And so the psalmist found God's word as a source of his spiritual strength. Let me help you. Just as the psalmist found spiritual strength in the word of God, guess what? You and I can find that same spiritual strength in his word. Any spiritual weakness in our life can be traced back to this fact of the neglect of God's word in our life. And the secret to a strong Christian life is a life that sustains itself in the word of God. The Bible was God's bread from heaven to keep you and I spiritually strong. Someone wrote a poem entitled, "Just Use Me." It goes like this. I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always and above all the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good, strong staff. To the one who sits in black gloom, I am a glorious light. To those who stoop beneath heavy burdens of this life, I am a sweet rest. To him who has lost their way, I am a safe guide. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am the healing balm of Gilead. To the discouraged, I whisper a glad message of hope and restoration. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor, sure and steadfast. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am as a cool, soft hand resting on a fevered brow. O child of man, to best defend me, just use me. Understand this morning that the Bible is God's bread from heaven, and the Bible should be the source of our strength, whatever comes into our life. The Bible was God's bread from heaven to sustain us spiritually. Well, we see that manna, number one, was given for sustenance. Then notice, secondly, this morning, it was given for an acquaintance. It was given for an acquaintance. Notice in verse number 12, God told Moses and the children of Israel that he gave them manna. Notice what it says, that they shall know that I am the Lord your God. So we find here that it was given for an acquaintance or acquaintanceship, that they shall know that I am the Lord your God. That word know, it means more than just a mere casual knowing. It gives us this idea that the knowledge comes from seeing and observing. So God is saying this, that I'm going to provide the manna, I'm going to provide the quail, that you know by you seeing and observing that I am your God. By giving the manna to the children of Israel, we could see what God could do for them. And so as you and I look back, and as the nation of Israel look forward to what God was doing for them, they could literally say, I can see God working. And by doing that, guess what? They become better acquainted with the person and power of God. It's no different for the children of Israel as it is for you and I. As we look at and understand and begin to see and know God, we are going to be more acquainted with the person and power of God. Notice what Moses said to them in verse 7. He said, And in the morning, then shall ye see the glory of the Lord. Understand this morning that the manna increased their knowledge of the splendor and the majesty of God Himself. Listen, the more that they saw, the more that they knew, the more that they observed, the more that they saw, they began to really understand just really who God was. They began to see His splendor, began to see His majesty working in their life. And the giving of the manna, God taught them faithfulness. In giving of the manna, God taught them His goodness and the graciousness of God. I came across these figures that reveal the miraculous means that it took to provide manna for the nation of Israel each day. Considering the number of people that were there, it would have meant that about 12 million pints of manna had to be gathered every day. That's about, get this, 9 million pounds. It's about 4,500 tons of manna. One person figured this, it would take 10 trains, each having 30 cars capable of carrying 1,500 tons to provide one single day supply of manna for the nation of Israel. And so by God giving manna, the children of Israel will become better acquainted with God and what the Lord could do for them. Understand this morning that the Bible is God's bread from heaven and really introduces us to God and it acquaints you and I with God and who He is and all His regal majesty and His power. It's in His Word that we learn who He is and what He can do for us. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to you and I. Thank God for the Word of God. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, in verse number 1, we have the continual and progressive revelation of God Himself to you and I. You know, we say that God is love, but where do we learn that from? You say, well, I learned it in Sunday school. No, that's wrong. We learned it from the Bible. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed that the love that God hath for us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We say that God is full of grace and God is full of mercy. But where do we learn that wonderful truth about God? We found that wonderful truth in the Bible. Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. We say that God is an ever-present help in times of troubles. How do we know that? And yes, by the way, He is. Where do we find that out? We find it out from the Word of God. Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Bible says this, God is our refuge and our strength and our very present help in trouble. The Bible is where God introduces Himself to us. The Bible is where God makes Himself known and to acquaint us with the God of the universe. Well, we see that manna was given for a purpose of sustenance. It was given for the purpose of acquaintance. Then notice, lastly, it was given for obedience. Notice in verse number 4 of our text, if you'll follow along as I read. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Notice what it says after that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. Notice that third reason that manna was given, it was to prove or to test the nation of Israel, to see if they'd be willing to follow God's command as God commanded them to do so. There is a matter of obedience involved in this giving of manna. It wasn't just for sustenance. It wasn't just for acquaintanceship, but it was a matter of obedience. And God said, I'm going to give them this manna to see whether or not they are going to be obedient to me. Let me ask you this question. Are you willing to be obedient to the commands found in God's Word? You say, well, I like to be. No, that's the wrong answer. I'm trying to be. Well, that's partly a good answer, but the real answer should be yes. I'm willing to be obedient to God's commands as found in His Word. Someone said this, you can call the Bibles the laws of heaven for life on earth. And I thought that was pretty good. The Bible is the laws of heaven for life on this earth. The Bible not only reveals God, but it also does this. It reveals our way of life, of God's expectation for His children. It's by the Bible that we learn what's right and wrong. It's by the Bible we learn how to live as believers, having trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible is the roadmap for our godly lifestyle. And as we read the Bible, we are confronted with this issue of obedience time and time again. I think that's where we fail oftentimes in our churches today, that we read the Bible and we're confronted with this issue of obedience, but we're not obedient. Goes in one ear and out the other ear. Again, are we obedient to what God has to say? The test of our obedience is whether or not we do what God's Word tells us to do. That's the litmus test. Are you doing what God's Word tells you to do? If you can say yes, shout glory, hallelujah. If you can say, well, no, I'm not really doing it, then you need to say, oh me and oh my, and repent of that sin, begin to be obedient to God's Word to our life. Understand this morning that there was a divine purpose for manna. It was for sustenance, physical sustenance, spiritual sustenance. It was for an acquaintance that we might get to know God and God can reveal His will to us through His life. And then lastly, it was obedience. Are you being obedient to what you know God has commanded you to do? Jesus said in Matthew 4, in verse number 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I never heard anything like this before. That's okay, because everyone at some point hears the gospel for the very first time. I want to submit to you today that everything that we have said has come taken strictly out of God's word. It's sustenance for us. It provides us an eternal salvation. The manna given to the nation of Israel was for physical food. But we can't live just by physical food. We just quoted the words of Christ in Matthew 4 and verse number 4. We find that our life should be our sustenance should be based upon the word of God. So maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm eating physically fine. Most of us probably are in America. Not everybody, but most of us probably are. But some of us maybe will not be eating spiritually correct. You haven't been feeding on God's word. I'm speaking to those who are members of Sharon Baptist Church, those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. We're more worried about eating our morning breakfast physically than the spiritual meat of God's word. And then if you're here and don't know Christ as your Savior, I cannot think of a better time for you to trust in Christ than it would be right now. Perhaps the Holy Spirit of God is challenging your heart right now to trust in Him. You see, life is more than just eating physical food. It's trusting in the bread of life, the manna from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to be saved. Let's pray.